and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and this is a solo run today. Unfortunately, James had his laptop stolen, so he is unable to record, at least tonight. Hopefully, we can get him on for the NFL pod tomorrow. So it does suck for him, and I do feel kind of bad. But NCAA, College Football Week 4. Pretty fun weekend of football last weekend. Some really good games. I lost overall, but I got a text saying that there's a big moneyline dog parlay hit using some of my picks, so I was very happy to get that one back. Just to kind of quickly recap, this is just going to be a solo pod, so I'm going to kind of, I'll fly through this a bit, and then I'll have James tweet out his five favorite plays when he gets the chance. But just to kind of recap last week, Bama Florida was an awesome football game. I think it was pretty interesting seeing how dominant Florida was on the ground against Alabama, even without Anthony Richardson, which I was a little disappointed, but still it was good. It was good to see. Bama's defense looked almost shocked at how just violently Florida was able to run the ball against them. And it really, really opened up the rest of their offense late in the game too. I'll touch on Heisman odds in a little bit, but Bryce Young being the favorite, look, I get it. It makes sense. He is probably the best player on the best. He is the best player, most important player on the best team in the country. But it's the things that he does doesn't really wow me. He's not scrambling for a bunch of big plays. It's a bunch of like short, just like structured passes. And like when I compare him against someone like Matt Corral, who just looks absolutely electric. It's like night and day between who I think should be winning the Heisman, who I don't think should be winning the Heisman. Granted, Matt Corral's been playing bad defenses, and Lane Kiffin's just given him full reign to just run up the score as much as possible. But it's the fact that Bryce Young is favored over him, or at least when I looked today, he was. I think I saw Bryce Young plus 175 and Matt Corral plus 200. That just kind of shocked me a bit. And I know, I mean, Bryce Young's been incredibly efficient. He hasn't even thrown an interception yet, but it's very interesting. Also, I mean, this is anecdotal, and take it for what you will. I thought Florida got absolutely hosed by the refs in the first half. Bama went up super quick, and honestly, Florida kind of dominated that game. There was like two ticky-tack pass interference calls that really kind of like gift-wrapped Bama a three-score lead. And I mean, it was almost certainly, one was on a huge third down too, that, and Bama would have had a punt because it would have been like 4th and 11 or something like that. And so they do look mortal, as that's the main point of this. But moving on, I did not get the chance to watch much of Auburn Penn State. To my understanding, what I've kind of picked up just from box score and highlights I watched was quarterbacks were uninspiring, but not horrible. There was a suspect goal line decision to go for a goal line fade for Auburn that just ultimately did not work late in the game, but they did have a chance to win. And the defense has played well. So kind of what you expected. It was a low total game. I'm sure the whiteout looked absolutely awesome. I'm a little bummed. My biggest win total, or my second biggest win total bet of the year, was on Penn State under 9. So that is off to a very poor start. ASU BYU, that game was sweet. The after the pick and the running back just tracked him down and knocked out the fumble was at one of the coolest plays you'll see all year. BYU defense is legit. They had Jaden Daniels in hell. I called it that game, pretty handicapped it pretty well. And honestly, I was left feeling somewhat impressed with both teams. ASU defense was making big plays, and while they weren't able to move the ball super well, they were going up against what I think is pretty legit defense. So I think that loss could suppress their rating a little bit as they, you know, you inch closer to the matchups against the more highly rated teams in the Pac-12. And then finally, this one threw me for a loop. So Georgia Tech goes, which of course Georgia Tech almost is within 4 points at half the year after I bet them to win them on money line. So, or first half money line anyways. But so Georgia Tech goes to Clemson. And as much as I want Georgia Tech to be good, they are not a good football team. The defense is not very good. There's just not a whole lot of talent. And while I think there's a pretty good amount of skill talent on the Georgia Tech roster, it's nothing special to truly move the needle. It's clear they're still adjusting to a new system and they're still cycling out old recruits. But the fact that Clemson was up 7-3 at half, I believe, regardless of whether it was a horrible weather delay or not, the Clemson offense is in a very, very bad place right now. Uyunglele has yet to truly make his mark on any game this year. And if it wasn't for the Clemson defense being probably a top five defense in the country, they were that close to being two loss to Clemson with a loss at home to Georgia Tech and possibly kissing like January or New Year's Day bowl games goodbye. And so this week I did bet a 10 on NC State just because I thought it would go down. It actually hasn't moved off the number. I could actually see it going up more. I think I might end up with a bad number come Saturday, and now they're going to up against a far more talented offensive line. And if they aren't getting the same amount of stops like they were against Georgia Tech and Georgia, then they could be in a lot of trouble. I am very interested to see how they come out on the road in a hostile environment, playing against one of the better teams in their conference. So I think they are very liable to lose that game. That could also be like the underspots of all underspots. Those are the four games that stuck out in my mind. I'm very interested to see how some teams look, especially of course, I'll get to the marquee games. Notre Dame, Wisconsin is definitely interesting. Notre Dame lost the box score against Purdue. Another team, USC. I believe Keaton Slovis was practicing this week, which I think I could possibly make the argument that Jackson Dart is already better than him, but he is unfortunately hurt. I believe he's out this week. And the other team that I want to pay a little attention to is UCLA. Of course, Jake Haener absolutely went balls to the wall in that game or the win against UCLA. And this is a pro Tanner McKee podcast. I think that he is what the Stanford offense needs to kind of be productive and you know, be able to move the ball against good teams like UCLA. I'm curious to see if Jake Haener and the Fresno State offense may have exposed something in the UCLA secondary. I'm just gonna say it now, just because I'm not gonna talk about it later on. Stanford is without all but their second string running back this week. So any injury there, and there could be a little bit of trouble for Stanford moving the ball. That being said, before I get into the marquee matchups, I do want to touch on the Heisman market real quick. Just two bets that I have not yet pulled the trigger on, but I am very interested to see. I think we might be, this is the absolute lowest, the lowest price we're going to get. And that is Spencer Rattler 12-1 and Sam Howell at 45-1. The case for Rattler is simple. I still believe he's the most talented quarterback in college football right now. in just in terms of raw talent. I don't know if it's like a Lincoln Riley isn't calling the good plays kind of thing yet, and they're waiting for Kansas State, who they play next week, or if it's a maybe Sam Rattler is not very good in structure, and once he gets kind of outside the pocket, then he like kind of trusts his arm talent to just make every throw he can, because he has better better efficiency numbers outside of structure than he does within structure, which is that's a bad sign, because that means he would be due for even more negative regression. Well, I would argue that Oklahoma, their offense won't get much worse than what we've seen. And that's really nitpicking, because I mean, like, you could argue that they had a bad half against Nebraska, which I don't think their defense is that bad, but I mean, if their offense isn't worse than that, I think they'll be fine for the rest of the season. And so I just think that at 12-1, which I found that on a local, I just think that both these prices were local. I have not really price shopped yet. I think that he has somewhat of a big marquee game, and I believe it's prime time. It might be the ABC game. I forget. I probably should have checked. But I think if he puts up a 7-touchdown performance, he's right back in the thick of it with both Matt Corral and Bryce Young, especially if you start to hear the, ooh, will he go number one? Will he go number one? Then I think we'll start to really get the Rattler hype train rolling. For Sam Howell, I think it is something very completely different. So I think it's for people, I mean, I would imagine that if you're listening to this podcast, you're someone who either just listens for bets, in which case I would imagine that you possibly already skip past this, or you're just a college football psycho like myself, then I think that like we have the understanding that Sam Howell's skill position players are nowhere near what he had last year, which I still think they have an incredibly high ceiling, and it's clear there's still like a lot of talent in that group. It's just, it is not, the floor is not there, and like they still need a lot more improvement and reps together to kind of like click. And I think at 45-1 for a guy who is seen as, I mean, he himself was seen as number one overall pick candidate. And along with that, he has name recognition that AP voters could kind of get behind. If he can start putting up big performances like he, which Georgia Tech just put up a big game against Clemson, I think that more eyes might be on that game. See if they can knock off, you know, North Carolina and Mac Brown. If he puts up a big game, which he had a big one last week, they put up what felt like 60 points. If he can kind of carry this team to an ACC championship and an 11-1 record, and then they end up beating Clemson, not only are they in the playoff conversation, which you could debate whether they will be or not, but if they do go 11-1 and win, or 12-1, excuse me, with a conference championship win, that would be a win over Clemson if Clemson loses this week, NC State, I guess. But it would be a win over, for the sake of this argument, say Clemson and Notre Dame. And I believe Miami too, but Miami looks like hot garbage, so disregard that. And so I think that would be enough for the Heisman voters to kind of say, okay, to at least get him to New York, to where you could start thinking about hedging if there is no clear winner. Now all that goes out the window if you've got like a Matt Corral -800, which could happen. But I just think there is a lot of value at 45-1, especially when he can just start putting up monster numbers. Before I hit the marquee games, make sure to follow at the Sharpside Pod on Twitter, and download the BetSports app, where we are a featured page. Our featured page is the Sharpside Pod, and our profile is at the Sharpside Pod as well. Just download the app, look it up. You can use it on your laptop too. Whatever. It's a great bet tracking app. Go download today. And then I would like to send it to our sponsor Anchor real quick, just before we start breaking down the games of the weekend. All right. Thank you to Anchor. Thank you to Anchor. Wisconsin, Notre Dame. This line has moved quite a bit. It opened at Wisconsin as a pick, and that number is very gone. It's looking like it's trending towards 7. Wisconsin's laying 6.5. Notre Dame is getting 6.5 there. Plus, they're almost 2-1 as a money line dog. Total's at 46.5. I got to be honest, I don't think this line should be that high. I'm not betting Wisconsin though. I don't like this Notre Dame team. I don't think they're very good. They have playmakers on both sides of the ball, but it doesn't fit as a collective unit. And I don't know if it's a defensive coordinator change or what, but like offenses that are not very good have been able to move the ball on them so far this year. Now, what benefits them here is that Wisconsin's offense is not very good. Graham Mertz is not throwing the ball downfield. Which Jack Cohn, all credit to him, he is throwing the ball downfield. And I might walk away with an under just for very, very small, just to have a little piece on this game. I'm really excited to watch it. I think it'll be a good game. But I believe they're playing in Soldier Field. So it's gonna be cold. And the defenses are, Wisconsin's offense sucks, but their defense is very good. Like Notre Dame's not going to be able to run the ball. And the Wisconsin DBs, I think, are very underrated this year, which they have one outstanding, outstanding linebacker who could be an All-American. But but so Notre Dame will not be able to move the ball. And they've been like losing all these box scores. And I want no part of the side. If it gets above 7.5, then which I doubt it does, just because everyone continues. I feel like the public is very much on Notre Dame, and Wisconsin just continues to take way more money, which is just moving the line way, way farther up. But so no real lean on the side. I am leaning very close to a like on the under 46.5 in this game. Next game, Texas A&M, Arkansas. This line has dropped a lot. I believe it's Texas A&M -4 right now at some places. And this is a neutral site game. I definitely should have looked at all this stuff. It's a neutral site game, though, that's for sure. And it was supposed to be an Arkansas home game, which is kind of a bummer for them, seeing as how great of a start they've had. Totals at 47. And the question here is Zach Calzada good enough to score on what should be a very difficult defense? And the defense is always confusing people. Barry Odom, I believe, is the defensive coordinator. And Texas A&M has the best pass defense and the best scoring defense in general in the country so far. Now, you can make a comment about the teams they're playing, but to just dismiss that would be foolish. The defense is legit, and they have a possible top three overall pick on the D-line too, which can cause problems in the Arkansas run game and for KJ Jefferson. I think KJ Jefferson is a stud. He's very good. The receivers are elite. Running back is elite. Arkansas O-line is good. And their head coach is a former O-line coach. So, I kind of come with that expectation. I don't know how efficiently they're going to be able to move the ball, but you can make the case that they're not going to have to do it that much. This game kind of feels like Iowa State to me, in the fact that I can see a confusing defense and a talented defense in Arkansas's kind of making enough plays to where Texas A&M struggles to move the ball with their backup quarterback, and then they do the absolute bare minimum to, which I'll say this right now, Arkansas's offense is far more talented. It's like much closer to A&M's defensive level than Iowa's offense to Iowa State's defense. And so I would have a little more confidence in their ability to score. Arkansas has two players to worry about, and that's in the run game. Zach Calzada, he's got the – I mean, we said this last week. Dude's got the biggest arm ever. Like, it's – I think we compared him to it's Josh Allen with a high schooler's accuracy, which so far this year you can make the case that's just Josh Allen. But then Zach Calzada's not that good. But I probably like Jacob Eason's like the better comp. And dude's got weapons around him. And he's got a good – he's got a solid O-line, I'll say. But I don't – I want no part of this side, no part of this total. I have a very bad read on this game. I bet a bad A&M number, and I'm already hating it, and it's moved away from me. I think I bet 5.5. And so I'm not looking forward to watching that bet lose. So that I – take it for what it's worth. I am on A&M, but I do not like it too much. So moving on to a game that other people might not find interesting. I do. Iowa State at Baylor. Baylor's getting 7 at home. And all this comes down to is I think Iowa State's offense is wildly is just not good. They don't have an identity. Breece Hall is not what he was last year. Kind of like what we saw at Chuba Hubbard 2 years ago. And Brock Purdy just doesn't do it for me. It's him and Jaden Daniels, and DTR kind of does it for me now too, but like it used to be him. And like you can kind of see the talent, but when you go up against a good defense or just a good defensive scheme, which I think Baylor has, I think they're going to really struggle to move the ball efficiently. And unless they get a big play here and there, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that, which you can say whatever you want about Dave Aranda as a head coach. I think he was a fantastic defensive coordinator, and it's like a great structured defense. And when you put that up against a struggling offense, I think that Baylor's going to be very, very alive to win this game. Now, Baylor hasn't played anyone yet, and they've played a bunch of crappers, but whether you want to buy into this or not, I think it's given their quarterback, Bohan is his last name, I forget his first name. I think there's chances giving him a lot of confidence, giving the offense a lot of confidence. He's rated like really highly on PFF. I mean, take that with a grain of salt. He hasn't played any competent defenses, so it could just be him beating up on lesser competition. And this, I would say, it's got a really good defense. So I do lean Baylor with 7. I think that, and I call a small chance, I think that if they step out there and just stomp on Iowa State, I think that Oklahoma should be a little worried, because if Baylor's able to score and their defense holds up, I think they could pose a significant threat to Oklahoma, because I think it would truly legitimize them as a team. And I think that what we saw the past few weeks would reflect a lot more positively on Baylor as a team, more so than how bad their opponents were, regardless of like kind of like looking at how the team is viewed. I think last year left a bad taste in everyone's mouth about Dave Aranda and Baylor, but I mean, your first year with the program and you've got the COVID thing, and that's a tough way to start. And so if he is riding the ship, it's a good program. So that one I will be very, very interested in. I actually don't think I would play the 7. I think I would just bet money line, which I might do that very, very small, just to have something rolling while I watch the game. And All right. My top 5 plays. All right, let's get to it. Once again, I will add that James is going to I'll be tweeting them out. And like, if you're come here from Reddit, you probably saw some of his handicaps on there. All right. My number one play of the week is Kentucky -5. So part of this, and I'm going to talk about this, it's a little bit of a trend, little anecdotal, but I think I do think it still matters. So when you play elite physical teams, and there's like 3 or 4 of them, so like your Clemsons, your Bamas, your Oregon with Mario Cristobal as a name. And I think Georgia too this year, just because they're so elite, and it's constant pressure, and it's just a constant like battering ram of pain, essentially, in college football terms. So the week after, you're nicked up, you're bruised, you're hurting, and then you still have to play again the next Saturday. So it's just kind of like a thing. I'm looking to fade South Carolina. I'm looking to fade Georgia Tech. I'm looking to fade Tulsa. Like same thing with Ohio State. And I'm even looking to fade Florida. And so I'm little teaser, I tweeted something now about a stupid bet. It's a Tennessee money line, 8-1. I will get to that a little bit later though. So Kentucky -5, they have all the tools to put up a bunch of explosive plays. The defense is good. And Mark Stoops has something in his contract where he needs to win 7 games. And if he wins 7 games, he gets an extra year added to his contract or some kind of bonus or something. And this, so these games matter to him, and because these are his gimme games, he needs to be able to beat up on a team like South Carolina. And so I think we get a Kentucky win, and I think we get it with margin. South Carolina's defensive line is talented and very good, but Kentucky's offensive line is among the best in the country. They have a great running game. This is the first year I will ever say, this might be the only year I ever say it, but I think I have more good things to say about the Kentucky offense than I do the Kentucky defense, which it's a very, very solid Kentucky defense. I think in years past, they have a little more talent and like a couple more NFL draft prospects, but this Kentucky offense is very fun. They're chucking it downfield. There's so much confidence in it. And which at this point in the season, when you're playing a team you can easily beat up on, give me Kentucky underneath a touchdown, underneath 6 all day long. So Kentucky -5. All right, my second favorite play. I was just talking about it. Georgia Tech just got beat up a little bit by Clemson. Plus, you've got like all this stuff with the delay and everything about that. So give me North Carolina -12.5. And I'm going to look at, and I will be betting the first half too. Along the lines of what I said, I just think we're going to get a points explosion. And we're going to get more and more points from North Carolina as the year goes on. I think what we saw at Virginia Tech was, I think they bottomed out really early in the year. And Josh Downs and Sam Howell, they're already working up a fantastic chemistry together. And Sam Howell, as I would argue, is the best deep thrower in all of college football. And when you can put up points that quick, that fast, I think that covering these large spreads, even on the road, is going to be really easy. This is so chalky, and it's so like, I will take all the flack for it being like the most, oh, this is such an obvious bet, but I just think there's a lot of value here under 2 touchdowns. I see them doing it pretty easily. That's also a big time sell high on Georgia Tech, who just had probably their best performance all year, and they didn't even win. So give me North Carolina -12.5. Another sell high. This is my third favorite play of the week. And this time I'm selling high on Michigan State, which I guess I probably shouldn't say I'm selling high I didn't bet on them in the first place. But Nebraska, I was very impressed last week, and regardless of how they lost, but I think 5 points is too much regardless. And I know they're on the road here. They're on the road. They're on the road. And as much as I hate to say it, Adrian Martinez has proven me wrong a little bit. I still kind of think he sucks. I won't lie about that. But he has a very high kind of like explosive play rate, to where in which when your offense is struggling, he kind of like goes into hero mode, and he picks up that 3rd and 17 with his legs. You know, he finds the receiver in a tight window, 30 yards downfield. You know, he might only he'll do that like 4 or 5 times a game. And while you might get a couple like incredibly disastrous plays or like a couple really bad throws, I think that those explosive plays kind of limit the damage of what, his mistakes present. With Michigan State, I think that it's very clear that they rely on Kenneth Walker to just break a shitload of tackles and run to the end zone. I think that Nebraska is a little bit better tackling team than that. And they're a little more, as weird as it is to say, we've come a long way from week zero, but it seems like they're just like a little bit better coached. And so I don't think we'll see as many defensive mistakes as we may have early on in the season. And on top of that, I am still just not buying in at all into the Michigan State passing game. Unless the ball is going through Kenneth Walker, I don't see them running the ball very well, or excuse me, moving the ball very well. So give me 5 points with Nebraska here. I think that, and I also think they're live to win, even on the road. My fourth favorite play, we're taking it over to Friday night, and we've got Liberty Lane 6. This is a bet on Malik Wills and what I think is just an elite head coach. And I mean, I'm probably being a little generous with the lead, but I really do like Hugh Freeze as a coach. I think there's a massive coaching edge between him and Dino Babers. And I think that Liberty's just going to be able to move the ball. The defense is always good. It's it's like they every year since Hugh Freeze has been there, they are always at or near the top in missed tackle rate, which just means that they don't miss a lot of tackles. And Syracuse offense is not very good. And I think – and Malik Wills is truly one of the most electrifying players in football. He does it all, whether it's with his legs, whether he's throwing a 60-yard pass down the field. I said earlier that Sam Howell is the best deep ball thrower in the country. Malik Wills would give him a run for his money. There's a reason why he's being talked up as a potential number one overall pick. I think that Liberty is able to pretty easily grab the win here. And they did play last year and they absolutely annihilate Syracuse, albeit that was at home and they're not laying six on the road at night, which the Carrier Dome's potentially a tough place to play, which I will give a Syracuse a very ever so slight bump in home field advantage. Now, whether we've got Syracuse students wanting to go to a football game on their Friday night, that is a whole other topic of discussion. But finally, final play. I hinted at this earlier, and we are taking 20 points with Tennessee, a team I hate. And I will admit, you know, I mean, if you've listened long enough, you know I'm a sucker for all this idiocy. So I have to play the plus 800 on the money line. It's just something I have to do. And because I think I would just feel so bad if by some miracle that Tennessee did win this game, I would be the biggest idiot of all time. So, and I just got to keep the money where my mouth is. So Florida dominated last week. And I think to most everyone's eyes, it was pretty clear. Now, of course, they lost the game. But like they gashed Alabama on the ground. And I mean, they're picking up chunk yards whenever they wanted in the second half. It was clear Dan Mullen. You're playing Alabama. Of course, it's a big game for you. But his game plan worked incredibly. And, I'm going to echo the same thing I've been saying this week. When you play an elite team with five stars all over the field, it wears you down. And I think that there's certainly enough talent on the Tennessee defense. I don't think they're as bad as, or they're not. I mean, they're much better than I'm giving them credit for. And the D line is really good. They absolutely dominant. They are dominant in line yards. They limit rush explosiveness and they limit rush success rate. So if this falls on Emory Jones passing the ball, sign me up. And I like that was by far the most disappointing part of the game last week. I mean, he was able to hit open receivers because Alabama kind of went into a soft zone. And ultimately that kept him in the game, which I was stoked about, and it hit the over and James' team total over, which that was a very good game for the sharp side, I will add. But I see a lot of people saying that they're betting the over this week, which I could see it. The Tennessee's offense runs so many plays. Josh Heupel is moving that thing at lightning speed. But I would kind of lean towards the under. I think Florida's defense impressed me in the second half. And on top of that, I still don't have a whole lot of confidence in how efficient the Tennessee offense is. Now, if Tennessee is scoring early, that could be big trouble for Florida. And I think they're very live in this game. But I also kind of lean towards the under because I don't know if Florida's going to be able to move the ball as well as they did last week. Now, what Tennessee needs to avoid is the stupid mistakes that often come with, well, first of all, Tennessee football, but second of all, Josh Heupel coach teams. They're always near at the top in like most flags or most penalties. And like that, that is brutal to a team, especially a team of which I hope they're competitive this week because I bet on them. But if they're trying to like close out a game, and you just keep shooting yourself in the foot, it's not going to, it's just like the worst thing for momentum you could possibly do. I believe Hendon Hooker will be starting this week, which I've talked about Joe Milton on this podcast before. And while he's so exciting to watch just because like he launches the ball a mile and he's really fast, I think Hendon Hooker is a better quarterback. And I think he kind of showed it once Milton left the game, which I was when I, cause I had that big bet on Pitt and, I was a little nervous. Hooker came in and in the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, that's not what I wanted when I bet on Pitt this game. And so having depth at quarterback is obviously huge. And Tennessee, I feel like, has three or four of them that have playing experience already. And Hendon Hooker does move the needle for me. I thought he was always really good at Virginia Tech. And if all things, like, at least he's a good runner of the football, which, like, at the bare minimum, at the college level, you can be horrible passing the ball, but you're going to be able to pick up a couple plays here and there if you are an elite runner, which he is. So Tennessee plus 20. And sadly, I did bet plus 800, which I'm burning money, but it's my money to burn anyways. So who cares? Now, finally, this actually went a lot longer than I thought and hoped, but hey, maybe you got something good out of it. A couple more bets that I like, which hopefully James likes too. Miami, Ohio, Army over 48, something I bet. SMU plus 10. So, of course, I bet them to win too. Maryland, Kent State over 69. It's an insanely high total, but I love both offenses. Kent State's defense isn't very good. And then, of course, a round robin for all the people out there. I have way too many 3-1 or higher dogs and then Nebraska, but we've got SMU. There's not a whole lot of like short lines this week, which is kind of interesting. SMU plus 305, Nebraska plus 170, Western Kentucky plus 305, Kent State plus 450, and Utah State plus 305. Round robin it, moneyline parlay it if you want to be a millionaire. And with that being said, thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and hit that follow button on Spotify if you're listening there. But go review on Apple Podcasts. I'm going to try now. I always say things like this, and whether I do it or not is a whole completely other story. But if I am available Sunday night, I'm going to attempt to try some sort of like live Periscope or YouTube live, kind of like looking at opening lines and seeing, it'll be quick. It'll be like 10, 15 minutes and just kind of seeing like what I think is bettable and what I don't. That being said, of course, follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod, just as a reminder. And guys, I will get James' picks to you because I believe he's taking the lead on me in our little contest. But big weekend for college football. I'm very excited. Whenever there's a bunch of bunny line dogs, I bet it's always got me super fired up. So thank you all for listening, and let's go win some money this weekend. Thank you very much.